Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jim House is our guest. He's the author of Seize the American Dream, 10 Entrepreneurial Success Strategies. He's also the chairman of a company called Southwest Jet Aviation. Jim House, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And, Jim, your book is, as you know, I've been impressed with it and have told my audience about it, and I've written at least one article talking about some of the things that you talk about in your book. And by now, though, you've had time for people to get back with you after they've read it and to tell you about what it's meant to them and some of the things that they've learned. And I'm sure that some of these things would be interesting to me to hear, and I'm sure it would be to my audience. Why don't you tell us about what some of them have said?
Well, I think one of the things with entrepreneurs is most of them are very, very skilled in one or two functional areas about the business. And whichever area that might happen to be, it's from the other sections in the book that they get the best benefit. For example, if someone is a good sales or marketing person, they might pick up the most information about the financing and accounting and maybe quality portions of the business.
Mm-hmm.
We've just got a wide range of comments about specific areas. A lot of them have come back about financing questions, how you further explanation of some of the sections and how you finance a business.
How you finance a business. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not the least bit surprised, because as you and I both know, this is the most critical aspect of any young or any growing business, isn't it?
It sure is. What most people that they're starting up probably don't realize is that the majority, like over 64-65% of small businesses, are funded initially from the founder or the owner.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
They're not going out and getting venture capital at that early stage.
No, I'd say what percentage did you use?
It's about 64-65%.
Yeah, I would say that number's conservative, Jim.
Yeah, well,
I don't know, is that research that you've done, or is that...
something I read in Inc. magazine.
Yeah, I think that's way conservative, because, I just think that's a conservative number, because most of us get these, our seed money comes out of our own pocket, either through credit cards or through a home loan or... a second mortgage or something like that, or some savings that we've accumulated, or maybe just not taking a paycheck for a year or two. A lot of people do that.
Yeah, that's the hard way to do it, but sometimes you have to do that.
A lot of businesses have been started that way. You know, Jim, one of the things that I think that this dramatizes is the fact that you can be really good at some particular industry. You could be the smartest guy when it comes to industrial supplies or electrical supplies or construction or manufacturing widgets for automobile manufacturers or whatever it is that you do. You could be the very best in the world and still fail because you don't know how to run a business.
Yeah, and you might have some shortcomings in the management side or how you treat people. And I think we all know that in a small business, one of the keys to success is obtaining the involvement of employees and getting them fired up about the business, and feeling as though it's their business, and they're, instead of an employee, really kind of a partner with you.
That's a challenge that's emerging as a management style. It's not really that widespread, I think, in the marketplace yet, but it is emerging, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and the businesses I've been associated with have been successful. It's where you have a really committed group of employees that enjoy doing what they're doing, and you create a positive environment. And those are some of the things that we talk about, not only the concept of doing it, but how to do it. And everybody understands the concept, but not everyone understands how to do it.
Well, and the thing is you have to convince your employees that you're actually going to allow them to take some ownership in what they're doing. And when I say ownership, folks, I'm not necessarily talking about equity. I'm talking about ownership in the projects that they're working on in their area of business. They own that website, or they own that accounts receivable division, or whatever job they're doing. But giving them the ability to take ownership and allowing them to do that, that's a big step, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's a big step for the entrepreneur to give up some of those responsibilities. And only by giving up the responsibilities will people really dig in and do everything that you want them to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are some of the ways that you recommend that we give people the ability to take ownership?
I think you have to get them involved in the business. We've always tried to get employees involved in the quality process, where they can see what happens when they try to put procedures in the business that measure how we're doing in terms of delivery, product quality, and if things are getting out on time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've always tried to get them involved in the planning process. So when you do a standard strengths, weaknesses, threats, and opportunities planning process, and everybody gets to have their input and have a voice in what some of the problem areas are in the company, and then you work real hard to identify those as a group and solve them. And by doing that, I think people understand that, hey, I can be a significant part of this business, and it's going to be more than just a job.
You know, you mentioned the SWOT approach: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's a real good exercise, isn't it, to use with your people?
Yes, it is. And we've used it. And you started out using it just with your management team. In one of the groups I was with, we used it with as many as 500 people.
Wow.
We had a lot of input.
I was going to say, that could almost get out of hand.
Well, you do it, each department does it. And we always tried to do it, have the department identify the strengths and weaknesses in their area, and then also identify strengths and weaknesses in any other area of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a little sensitive at first, but after you've done it a couple of times, it works pretty good.
Well, let's pursue this a little bit more when we come back after these messages. I'd like to know a little bit more about how to do this. Folks, this is an excellent exercise you can use in any size business: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, the SWOT method. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Jim House. We're back. It's 23 after. Jim House is our guest. He's the author of Seize the American Dream. Jim, tell us where your book's available.
Right now, it can be ordered from Barnes & Noble, and they have it in some of the stores, but the best place to get it is through Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. Amazon. And ladies and gentlemen, the last name is spelled Houtz. Houtz, Houtz, Jim H. Houtz. If you want to type that into the search engines, or Seize the American Dream, 10 Entrepreneurial Success Strategies, if you're asking for that at your local bookstore or looking for it online. You got a website for it, Jim?
Yeah, it's you can actually go in under two terms. You can go in under Seize the American Dream, or you can go under Jagrand, which is the publisher.
Jagrand, NS.com? SeizeTheAmericanDream.com?
JAGRAND.com.
Okay, check that out when you get a chance. Okay, we're talking about the SWOT method, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. This is a process that's really can be valuable. It really can open up the eyes of employees, of stakeholders in your organization, Jim, that prior to this exercise might not have really gotten all of the things that were threatening the company and all of the opportunity that was laying out there waiting on you.
Yeah, you'll find that the first time you do it, will usually be a shock to the business owner, because you think that you know everything about the business and you're the guru of everything in commerce, and then you do a SWOT analysis, and you find out that you've got a lot of employees working for you that know more about certain areas than you do, and have some ideas how to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it by just sending out simple one-page forms. They give us the three strengths, three weaknesses, three opportunities, and three threats that you see to your department or your functional area, and then what do you think those same issues are for the company as a whole?
Mm-hmm. And they brought those to the meeting?
Well, they would bring them to the meeting, and as we got more and more people involved in it, we went through a process which where each manager would accumulate the items for his area,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd carry them throughout the entire corporation.
And so you'd find out that, you know, obviously there'd be some that were not really a concern. Somebody just had an axe to grind or whatever, but everything had to be considered, didn't it? I mean, one of the things about this deal, about this analysis, folks, is at the beginning on their face, nothing can be rejected, can it?
No, it can't. Everything.
It has to be proven not to be.
It has to be, and what you find is, you know, if you've got, say, 20 employees and 15 of them think there's a weakness in the way you bill customers, or 15 of them think there's some product deficiencies that you didn't mm-hmm. know about, that's pretty obvious that that's a problem area that you have to go in there and do something about.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can see the boss sitting there hearing this thinking, well, they're crazy. There's nothing wrong with our billing plan. We get these things out all the time.
Well, you have to be pretty open-minded.
Mm-hmm. You have to be very open-minded because a lot of these things are going to hurt your feelings, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
And they're going to frighten you.
And you find what you will find is that creativity doesn't always have a lot to do with educational background or how long somebody's been in the business. I mean, creativity comes from all levels and all areas of the your employee group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, once you get people understanding that there's no repercussions for anything that they might come through the planning mm-hmm. process, then you really build a fun environment. Now, it's very important once you start that process that you follow up on it and make sure that out of each area of those items is you can have a list of things that you're going to be committed to solving during the next 6 months, or in some cases taking advantage of it.
Well, and you alluded to something there that's really, I want to pick up on a little, Jim, and that is this thing about trust. I mean, people have got to believe that they can be that they can trust you with this information that they know is probably going to hurt your feelings, maybe make you a little bit angry, and maybe and certainly probably even frighten everybody a little bit. If this is going to work, people have to be honest, and the only way they can be honest is if they feel comfortable that there's going to be no repercussions.
Yeah, what you find is people on your management team, a lot of their suggestions are global in nature in terms of the market and where you're competing. And then your middle managers will have a lot of suggestions about communications within the company, because it never seems to be good enough. And then the bulk of your employees will have a lot of suggestions over both those areas. But they'll also lay out some human resource issues, you know, about compensation or whether or not your insurance plan is adequate.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets everybody talking about it and focused in on the issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, this has been a great visit. Thank you so much for your time, for helping us understand how to improve our companies. The book is called Seize the American Dream by Jim House, Houtz, available online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble and at seizetheamericandream.com. Jim House, thank you for being here. Good job.
Okay, thanks a lot.
See you next time. Quick break, right back with RKC and Cuddy. We're going to continue this discussion a little bit by talking about trust. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.